Okay, I want to start by telling you a little story of something that happened over Christmas. I went home and spent Christmas, because it was Evie's first Christmas, I decided to go home and spend it with my mum and dad. So off me, Simon and Evie went that long 400-mile journey up north, which was fantastic. And off we went, and we arrived at my mum and dad's house. And when we walked in, we got ourselves sorted, and I noticed the house had been decorated. It was all new. There was new wallpaper on the walls. There was like new carpet, new doors. Everything had changed. And then they had like obviously the Christmas tree and all like the Christmas cards decorated. And I was like, oh, it looks amazing in here. It's really good. Like, you've done a really good job. Love the wallpaper and everything. And it was like, yeah, great. And then I noticed there was just something not quite right about my mum. And I was like, oh no, she didn't say anything. So I was like, okay, just leave that there then, shall I? And then went upstairs to bed that night and said to Simon, did you notice, like, my mum was a bit upset? She's like, no, she seemed fine to me. I was like, but did you notice the new doors? Did you see them? Aren't they lovely? No, didn't see any new doors. I was like, you didn't see the new doors? No, I didn't really notice. Now, I don't know about you, but have you noticed that women seem to have that kind of peripheral vision that they can see just that little bit more sometimes, can't they? That they see some of the finer details of things. And then I found out maybe a couple of days later that actually my mum hates the wallpaper. And as soon as I mentioned, oh, the wallpaper's nice, kind of bit of attention there. So the wallpaper's being changed, I'm pleased to know. And unfortunately, my mum and dad are here this morning, so I don't think they'd be too pleased about me telling you this story, but never mind, I couldn't avoid it. So yeah, so you can sometimes see things that aren't right. And this morning, we're going to look at something about that, and it is, we're going to look at the gift of discernment. And although we all have my clicky things not quite working, I'll let you sort it out up there while I keep talking. And we're going to look at the gift of discernment. And we all have like a natural discernment that we all carry, don't we? Something that we can all recognise where something's gone wrong. But I'm going to read to you the verse, 1 Corinthians 12, just for us to get an insight of where it's coming from again, the series that we're doing. So there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by the same means of the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. That's an amazing list of gifts, isn't it? I find it incredible just reading them through, not that I could get all my words out with them. And the one that we're looking for this morning and looking through is the one where it says, to another, distinguishing between spirits. And that is what discernment is. It is being able to see more than maybe what's on the outside. And like I said, we all kind of have this natural discernment that isn't a gift from God, that we can all sense certain things. And discernment in the dictionary is described as acuteness of judgment and understanding. So it's something that we can all have. So you know that if you walk past a dark alley at night, you could think, I'm not going to walk down that alleyway. It does look a bit frightening. It's maybe not going to be safe for me to go down there. And discernment tells you, maybe don't walk down that road. Or, I don't know if any of you have had paper rounds. I personally haven't, but I'm a little bit funny about dogs barking. And there's a dog right at the top of my street. And when you walk past it, and I sometimes walk past it with Evie, and I know it's there. I know it's going to bark. And I'm like, right, okay. Don't worry, it's behind a wall. Just keep walking, it's going to bark. And every time it makes me jump. And it's like, just you just can't help it. But sometimes if you're on a paper round or if you see a dog, you just think, do you know what? I am going to avoid that place. I'm going to avoid that dog. It looks vicious. It sounds vicious. I'm not going to go there. Now, granted, the dog on there doesn't look so vicious, does it? But hey, you never know. It could be. Get the teeth out and all that. So we can sometimes see, and we can discern safety and not maybe so safe. And that's something that we can all carry naturally ourselves. But the gift of discernment is that added extra on top of that. It's being able to see whether a source of what someone says or what someone does or anything around, whether it's coming from a good place or whether it's coming from a bad place. And it's being able to determine what is what's going on. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says for us to test everything, and it's to test those spirits. So it's being able to see whether something, again, comes from a good place or whether it comes from a bad place. And having the gift of discernment is like having those 3D glasses on. When you go and see a film, normally it's just flat on a screen, stick your 3D glasses on, and it comes alive. And again, that is like what having the gift of discernment is like. It gives you that extra vision to see where things come from. And discernment is used to help the church. And it says that the gifts of the Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And that's what these gifts are for. They're not there for us to help ourselves, for them just to be for us. They're actually there so we can help each other through things. And discernment is definitely one of those gifts. It's one of those gifts that we can help each other through things. Now, as I've researched this over the last few weeks, I've got to say, studying the gift of discernment has opened my mind to just how huge this gift is. It's massive, and I can't go through everything this morning, but if you would like to, it's like all through the Bible. Acts in particular, you see the gift of discernment really at work. But all I'm going to do this morning is give you an overview of what the gift of discernment can be used for and maybe how we can use it ourselves. So I can't go through everything, but feel free on Tuesday night in your small groups to do a bit more study around it, because it is a massive subject. And it's one of those gifts that's really important for us as individuals, but for us as a church, just to help each other with our lives and really live for God. So what the purpose of discernment is for is for protection, guidance, and to walk in wisdom. And I'm going to go through these three topics tonight. So this morning, if only it was tonight, I'd have had a party and everything. Oh, it'd be lovely. Okay, so we're going to look first of all at protection. And I was reading through Nehemiah, and Nehemiah built the walls of Jerusalem back up. And as he was building them, he came across some opposition with these walls. And as he was coming to the end, there was three guys that weren't too happy with him, called Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And they kept on sending Tobiah messages. And when they realized he was going to finish, it's like, we've got to stop this. We cannot let him finish these walls. They're going to be protected. And that was not a good thing for these guys. So they kept on sending messages saying, Nehemiah, come down to this village and we'll talk, we'll sort this out. And Nehemiah knew that he was going to come to harm. He knew he shouldn't go down there. So he said, no, I'm not going to go. Thanks for the offer, but no thanks. 4 times they kept sending this same message. Come on, Nehemiah, come down and see us. We'll talk this through. It'll be all right. And 4 times Nehemiah sent the same message back and said, no, I'm not going to go because I know that I'm going to come to harm. You're going to hurt me. So he didn't go. Now, you'd think that they'd have realized maybe after 2-3 times that message wasn't going to work, but no, carried on 4 times. The 5th time they thought, I know, we'll do something different. So they sent him a personalized letter. Dear Nehemiah, we've heard on the grapevine that you are wanting to become king. You want to take over and you're going to destroy everything. And they sent this big elaborate lie. And we know it's true because we've heard it from the town of Geshem. And off they went telling this lie about Nehemiah. And they said, and everyone's going to believe us. So Nehemiah wrote back, actually, I don't think so. That's a lie. So he didn't really mince his words. He just told them, no, I don't think that's true. And off he went and wrote the letter back. And so they realized that wasn't going to work. And so one day, Nehemiah went over to see one of the guys called Shemaiah, who was confined to his home. And he must have been a friend and someone that he knew and was respected. So he went there and they were chatting. And while he was there, Shemaiah prophesied over him and said, Nehemiah, come to the temple with me. We can hide there because these guys are going to come and hurt you. And Nehemiah replied with this, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my life position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin. Then they would be able to accuse and discredit me. Like, how amazing is that? Nehemiah, he knew that these guys were after him. He could already discern that this wasn't happening, but he knew that they were his enemies. Then a friend of his came and told him and prophesied over him that he was going to be in danger. Come with me to the temple. And still he could discern where that was coming from. He knew it wasn't coming from a good place. He knew it was coming from a bad place, and that was a trusted friend. So you can see that Nehemiah could discern what was going on, and he was protected by God because of that gift. And that is the same for us. We can have that same gift in our lives. And it says in 1 John 4:1, it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So again, it tells us in the Bible to test these things. So again, if we have a prophetic word, we know that now we can only prophesy in part, can't we? So we hear from God and we speak it out. But then sometimes we can say things that are just maybe our opinion or like what we think or something that we've seen into a situation that maybe isn't from God. And it's for us to discern what is from God and what isn't. And sometimes it's really obvious, isn't it? You can hear a prophetic word. And I know like when we've done this as church, that we can speak out and someone will say something and we'd all be sitting there going, yeah, that really does make sense. And it really resonates with your spirit. And you think that is you, that is right for you. And then other times you can hear something and think, actually, I don't know if that is right. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if this is from God or not. And it could well be, but you might misunderstand, or it could just be, because we only prophesy in part, that it could just be that we only heard some of it and maybe it wasn't quite right. And this is where discernment can play its part. And as us as church, who some of us have this gift of discernment, can really help to discern what is of him and what isn't. So again, with this, we can go to leadership who have discernment to say, actually, I wasn't sure about this. Could you help me to discern whether this is right or not? And we can say, actually, yeah, that made sense to us and this is what it means. Or we could say, actually, no, that maybe isn't the case. And since I've joined the leadership team, I've noticed just how discernment works in this team environment. And for me, it's really given me the confidence to think, yeah, do you know what? We are a discerning church and we do hear from God and follow him. And just being part of that environment, I feel really privileged to be part of it, to know that there's people who can discern within the church and to hear from God and to follow that. And so I know I can be confident in it. So when I'm talking about the prophetic, we can know that we can trust people in that. So I know that's been helpful for me. But not just in the prophetic of life, but protection and discernment can be part of our everyday lives as well, of going to work and people talking to us and giving advice or anything like that. So we can tell sometimes, and the Holy Spirit can reveal to us where this word is coming from them, whether it's just a kind word or whether someone's saying something against you or whatever it may be. Discernment can really help to protect you, but also you can have discernment to protect your friends as well, that when you're in school, when you're in uni, when you're at work and someone's maybe hurt or heard something or someone said something to them, you could discern something and say, actually, this is what's right for you. This is what God's saying for you. And discernment works out of a place of love. Like every other one of these gifts, they all come out of love. So God wants to protect us, and he can use discernment to do that. And the next one is guidance. And it says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet a light on my path. And again, we can get guidance through the Bible and we get guidance through the Holy Spirit. He can lead us in a direction that he wants to take us. And this is something that, again, I've seen in my own life. And we can see by looking through the Bible and by listening to the Holy Spirit where the decisions that we make, where the lifestyle choices that we make come from a good place or come from a bad place. We can be able to test these things. And I can remember when I was at university, all of my friends, I was in my final year, and all my friends were deciding to do PGCEs. I was doing one of those courses that led on to a PGCE everyone wanted to teach. And I realised after my first year of uni, I definitely did not want to teach. I was not going to set foot in a classroom. So I kind of made that decision then. But then, like, what am I going to do with my life? What on earth is going to happen? So on my final year, I thought, right, I'm going to take a year out. I'm going to spend some time. I'm going to go and work in a church or work for a charity, and I'm going to do this. So I set myself a goal to sort that out. So I went with some friends down to Alton Towers. Everyone knows who Alton Towers, what Alton Towers is. Yeah, amazing place. Go if you've never been. It's really good fun. And we went to Alton Towers, and Delirious, a Christian band, were playing there. And while we were there, we went on all the rides, listened to a bit of Delirious, and they had a big tent to one side. And in it was a place where all the people who did year-out schemes were in there. So I was like, oh, it's like an open day. Do you know how you got university open days and stuff? It was like a mini one of them in a tent. It was brilliant. So I went in, and first of all, you see all the famous ones. You had Soul Survivor, Oasis, other really big charities in there. So I went round, had a chat to them all, and then took the information off them. And I was, thank you very much. Everything was really positive. Then I went to DNA. And I went up to the guy and I was like, oh, so what's this like? All enthusiastic. And he's like, oh, it's all right. It's fine. And he wouldn't even look at me. And I was like, so is it worth it? Is it good? Yeah, it's fine. It's, you know, if you feel like it, do it. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, that's really encouraging. So I politely took the leaflet and put it in my bag and thought, well, I'm not going to do that. That's a fact. And off I walked and walked around loads of other ones and took loads of information. Got back to uni, and a few days later, looked in my bag and went through all the leaflets, and the one that stood out was DNA. And I was like, oh, man, like, why this one? There was nothing particular about the leaflet. There wasn't anything fancy about it. I looked at the prices. There was definitely nothing fancy about the prices. So I was, like, looking through, and I thought, you know, I think this might be the one. So I put it next to my bed on my CD player, and I thought, I'll just pray about it for a few weeks and I'll make a decision then. What I really wanted to do was go to Soul Survivor for 6 months. I was like, that was definitely what I wanted to do. Would have been incredible. But I knew that that wasn't coming from a place of wanting to serve God. That was just coming from myself of saying, I just want to be around those people. I want to get to know the famous Christians and all of this. So that's what I wanted to do. But DNA was the one that really stood out. So I left it for a couple of weeks and then thought, no, this is right. And I just knew that that was how God wanted me to serve after university. So I applied, got in, and here I stand now. And it changed my life. And now I'm living in Swansea. I'm doing this. And this is something that would not have happened if God hadn't helped me to discern that that was the right choice for me at that particular time. I wouldn't be standing here if I'd thought, no, I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to go to Soul Survivor. Do you know what? Soul Survivor might not have even taken me. But at the same time, I knew that this is what God wanted for my life. So that was the decision that I made based on the guidance that I was given through discernment. And God can show us the right course of action, either through the Bible, through wise people, but through discernment, our own discernment, or the discernment of other people. And again, like I said, we do have discerning people in the church. So if you have important decisions to make or you need guidance, speak to the leaders who can help you to discern what those choices are, whether your choices are coming from the good place of God or whether they're just coming from yourself or whether they're coming from a bad place. values, deciding these things. It's just so good that we are in community together and that we are doing these things for each other out of a place of love, that we can help guide each other and see where God wants to take us together as a church, but also as individuals as well, that we can help for each other to discern what God has for us. And so he can guide us in his direction. And it says in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, we all know God does have a perfect plan for our lives. And it says there, as we're being transformed and our minds being renewed, then we'll be able to test what God's will for us is. And again, that word test comes in. It's being able to discern what God, where God has taken us. But again, I do want to say, if you have these decisions to make, whether they're big decisions or just the everyday decisions, talk to someone about it who you know is discerning. But we do, and we all can, have this gift of discernment, even in the things that we maybe watch on TV, the films we go and see, the books we read, just the everyday things of what we do, the places that we go. Are these places coming? Is the source of what they're doing from a good place, or are they from a bad place? And we can ask God to help us discern these things, just the everyday normal things. And God can help guide us in those as well. And then finally, we've got walk in wisdom. And again, discernment is often linked to wisdom. It's one of those gifts that you'd look at wisdom and discernment kind of tags on the end of it. I've always thought that's what it was. Obviously realise now, definitely not. It's so much bigger. And with discernment kind of is that icing on the cake of wisdom. You can have wisdom, and that again is on the list of the gifts, but discernment takes you to that next level, that again, the 3D glasses, the oversight of that you can see more and see exactly the source of where it's coming from and how it's going. So the two do work together, but I would say discernment is that added extra on the top as well, that God can really download what is going on in a certain situation more than what wisdom maybe would in a situation. And the guy you need to look for, if you had any doubt, if you wanted to look at wisdom and discernment, is Solomon. What a man. He was the most wise and discerning man that God had given the gift to. And he said that at the beginning. And when Solomon became king, he said, "I've got so much going for me." And God came to him in a dream and said, "Ask for anything and I'll give it to you." And he said, you know, he could have asked for anything, but Solomon asked for wisdom. I mean, what a man to ask for wisdom. He could have had anything. He could have asked for all of his enemies to be defeated. He could have asked to have taken over the world. He could have asked for anything and God would have given him it. And Solomon said, "I'll have wisdom, thanks." Like, I don't know if I'd have said that if I was queen of the world or whatever. It would have been amazing. But Solomon recognized the need for it, but God gave him more than wisdom. He said this, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." And that's exactly what he did. He gave him wisdom and discernment. And straight away, this bit that you read after this is when Solomon has two women who are fighting over a baby. One of the women's babies died and the other survived, and they were fighting over, "This is my baby. No, it's my baby. No, it's my baby. No, it's my baby." And they were fighting over this child. So they went before Solomon, and Solomon, with great wisdom and discernment, said, "All right then, we'll cut the baby in half." Like, everyone knows, a mother would not allow their baby to be cut in half. So discernment tells you, don't ask that question. And again, the mother was made apparent. She said, "No, just give it to the other one. I'd rather him be alive and with somebody else than with me and dead." So you could see his wisdom and discernment in those places. And he wrote the book of Proverbs as well. So if you, again, you want to look at becoming more wise and making wise decisions, or if you want to look at discernment a bit more, read read the book of Proverbs, I find it fascinating. You can just read like two lines and you're like, oh, that blew me away. That was amazing. That's me for the day, that is. I feel wiser already. And I've just got two up here that are a bit about that are about discernment. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Like that second one to me, like that is just hits it for me. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. And we can seek discerning out. We can seek for it and ask for it. And it's such an amazing gift that kind of helps us in the everyday of what we are faced, that we can discern what's good and what's bad. Now, we all want to do that, don't we? We all want to do the good things. We all want to do the right things in life. And this is a gift that can really help us to do that, to follow what God has for us. And to finish, I'm just going to go through how we can get it. So firstly, pray and ask God. And it says, if your children ask for fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask for it. If you want discernment, ask God to give it to you. It is a gift that any of us can have. That extra vision that we would all like, that's on top of what we already have. It's that added extra, the icing on the cake. So ask God for it. Secondly, desire it. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. But it says, eagerly desire all of the gifts. So desire these gifts, run after them, read the Bible, search them out, see how others discern in the Bible, be around people who are discerning, get to know what the gift is about, desire it and search for it, just like you would prophecy or any other of those gifts. So that's something else that you can do. Thirdly, ask someone who has the gift of discernment to mentor you, to get alongside them. So get alongside some the leadership and see how they do it. Ask them. If you feel that you're discerning something, ask them and say, am I right? Is this what it is? Am I discerning this correctly? Is this coming from a good place? And we can say, actually, yeah, you are spot on. That is exactly right. And you can see, and if you ask someone to mentor you, they can guide you and help you to be able to release this gift more fully in your life so that we as church can benefit from it and your friends can benefit from it outside as well. And finally, be accountable and teachable. Like, we don't prophesy in secret, do we? We do it publicly so that we can and allow each other to talk into each other's lives. And it's the same with discernment. If you feel that you are being guided in a direction, if you feel that God has taken you somewhere, or that you feel that you've got something happening in your life, that you just need some discernment of what the right choice is, or whether you've heard right, or if someone has said something to you and you don't know where that's come from, then talk to someone. Be accountable and be teachable, and together we can help each other, not just with this gift, but with all of the gifts that we are given, and we can help each other and support each other in it. That's what church is about, that we can do that. And as leaders, we would like to do that as well. That's what your small group leaders are for, and that's what the leadership are here to help with as well. So these are just some of the things that can really help us to look at discernment. And like I said, this is just an overview of what discernment is. It is so much deeper and it goes into so many more places that this morning I just don't have the time to be able to talk about it, but you can talk about it in your small groups. But I just want to finish with one last Bible verse. And when we look at all of these gifts and with everything that we do, it's always remembering that they come out of a place of love, that love is at the heart of all of this. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So it's looking at this and you think, you know, we can have all of these gifts. We can have the gift of discernment and ask for it. But everything we do comes out of that place of love. That everything that we got given was out of a place of love. So we use these gifts out of love as well. So we can know that whatever is being said, it's always from that place of looking at love. So shall we just pray to finish? Lord, I thank you that you love us and that you want good things for us, Lord, that you give us good gifts. And I thank you that the gift of discernment is a good gift, that you want us to see the source of things. You want us to see whether things are from a good place or a bad place. You want us to know what you have for us. You want to guide us in your direction. And I thank you that this gift does that. And I just pray this morning that we will seek after it, that we will look for it, and we will ask for it in our own lives. And I pray that this week, as we look at it a bit more, that you will help us to see, and that you will give us this gift, Father. Amen.